This is really dangerous, and we have to resist. We have to have a peaceful resistance. And what I tried to do is list the kind of things that we all as citizens need to do and need to have our representatives and senators in Congress do. And not only mount a forceful rejection of these Trump nominees, most of whom are completely unqualified and incompetent with regard to enforcing the purposes of these agencies that they are going to be running, or Trump wants them to run, but also individually, we need to boycott Trump products.
That's Robert Reich, former Clinton labor secretary, now professor of public policy at UC Berkeley. We'll link to his recent pieces, the first 100-day resistance agenda and Trump's seven techniques to control the media. We'll link to it at democracynow.org. It's now been 146 days since Donald Trump has held a news conference. That does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Ndura, and Andre Lewis. Special welcome back to Julie Crosby. And thanks to Miguel Noguera, Mike DeFilippo, and Paul Huckabee, as well as Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by the KBOO Foundation, members, and a grant from Seattle Theater Group, presenting an evening with comedian Sarah Silverman, performing at the Keller Auditorium on February 8th. Tickets are on sale now, and more information for Sarah Silverman at the Keller Auditorium is available at portland5.com.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, a full-service automotive shop located next to Portland's Selwood Bridge for over 30 years. They're a Blue Seal certified shop committed to client care and community support. Information on their eco certification, client carbon neutral program, courtesy shuttle, rentals, and more at tomdwyer.com or by calling 503-230-2300.
Good morning.
Tis the season.
Yes.
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 For what, I don't know, but tis the season.
It's the season.
It is.
Buy some stuff, man.
That's right. Throw the money changers into the temple where they belong. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. If you're listening on one of the internet tubes, it's at kboo.fm. We're going to kind of go against type today.
Yes.
We're going to hand the show over in large part to you, our listeners, because we get a lot of feedback on the show, and a lot of it is along the veins of, shut up. Shut up and let the callers talk more.
Yeah.
So today we're going to shut up and let the callers talk
more.
What?
But there's a rule.
What's the rule?
We want to get as many people in as possible, and we want people to kind of tailor their comments to short.
Brevity.
Brevity.
Yeah.
The soul of wit.
Right.
So we're talking one, the most 2 minutes per caller. And quick you takes. Have to be self-regulating.
That's right.
Quick or we'll takes. Cut you off. Because we have so right. much power.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe's chafing that he's not going to be able to talk very much. So
what?
Don't test him.
Don't test me.
Here's what we want to do today. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is our second to the last show of the year.
Yeah.
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 Our penultimate show.
Is that what that means, penultimate?
Penultimate means almost ultimate.
Almost ultimate. I thought it was the fifth one from the end.
I don't know if there's a word for that. But if you know
pantultimate. Come on.
If you know of this word, please call us up and let us know.
Don't. Please don't.
503-231-8187. So the song that played us in was called "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Yeah.
It has some sort of significance for this time of year.
I'm well, of course. Sure, and it's a very pretty song.
It is a very pretty song.
Be fair.
One of the lines goes, the hopes and fears of
all the years are bent in thee tonight.
That's right. So what we want to know from you, gentle listeners, we want to know about your hopes and your fears for the year ahead.
Yeah.
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 That's what we want to know.
We just had Robert Reich on and Amy Goodman, so that ought to scare you.
Yeah, right? All right. So let's start it off with you, Joe. What are your hopes and fears for the coming year? You have 2 minutes. Go.
Oh, my biggest hope is that Donald Trump gets caught in some kind of irredeemable embarrassment involving people that you would not think he would have anything to do with.
You mean another irredeemable embarrassment?
Yeah, kind of bizarro situation with underage children or some weird.
Oh, God.
No, I mean it. I'm tired of this guy. All right. That's my hope. But my fear is that's not going to happen.
I thought you're going to say your fear is the exact
same
thing.
Well, they'll guard him, and all he'll do for the rest of his life is tweet.
He wants to guard himself with this private security force. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I really want there to be, just like in some Latin American dictatorship of yore, there to be an armed private security force, like some movie out of the 1940s, Fearing Fascism.
Apparently, he believes that his force of rent-a-cops are better qualified and better trained than the United States Secret Service.
Well, how could anyone think the Secret Service could do anything well? Kennedy's dead.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
But Trump's also, interestingly enough, been charging the Secret Service to stay in Trump Tower while he's there.
That's expensive.
So, right. So we, the taxpayers, are paying for this security force to guard the president, and he, in turn, is profiting by charging them to stay in his building.
Well, we've seen during his rallies how he orders his thugs to kick people out of his events if they raise objections out loud.
Yeah. So we've got
or
that
have
to
a
look
sign,
forward.
Even just have a sign saying Trump eats donkey dung.
Something. Right. But we digress. This is about the callers today.
Yeah, now let's go to the callers.
503-231-8187.
Remember, 2 minutes.
Two minutes. Who's first? Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Right. How are you, sir?
Well, I called you guys about a year ago, and I'm going to say the same thing. I am scared to death. Absolutely scared to death. You know, those little things that we carry around and with the little screens on those movie screens. They don't do anybody any good. they're you know, we're on the verge of losing our democracy. People who do not study their history and don't realize that we are on the verge of doing this. You know, we defeated the Nazis in World War II, and we are on the very verge of going down the same path. And if people don't go to the libraries and study their history, it's too late now. The elections happened. Maybe this Robert Reich's 100-day resistance, that's a good place to start. We've got to do something. There's got to be some pushback on this, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, now what we're trying to do, folks, and you must cooperate with us, please, is give each of you, as many of you as we can handle, and we're not good at this, a minute to 2 minutes to say something you want to say. It can be, as long as it's germane, it can be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's next?
Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Free speech, and I'm concerned, and I expect KBOO to be an exemplar. And by that, I mean challenge yourself. So, you know, there's a recent article in the economist about the Dutch government banning free speech, which they interpret as hate speech. And, you know, anything offensive to liberal interests may qualify, you know, not everything, but much that could be offensive to liberals could be qualified as hate speech. And I consider myself, you know, just to the left of right of center, but that's where I draw the line. That's my
okay
line in the sand is, you know, why won't KBOO tolerate speech? For instance, you know, I've challenged those who promote expansion of entitlements to LGBTQ communities, right? It's as though the expansion of entitlements is more important than expansion of equality. So, you know, you follow the money, and anything that might be perceived as offensive to liberal interests could be hate speech. And it's, you know, as polemicists, we don't serve the interests of our First Amendment by only tolerating that speech which, you know, offends our enemies. So,
okay.
That's my point, is be more courageous, KBOO.
Okay, thank you.
Thicker skins all around.
Yeah.
All right. That's
what we're looking for, a two-minute little shot.
That's right. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're also taking written comments at Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AbeAndJoe. Also over the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Who's next? Leah, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Everybody was talking about hope this morning.
Yeah.
In the evacuation of Aleppo and one of the other cities in the past days, they found a 10-year-old little boy, and he'd been living in the bombed-out buildings around Aleppo, and he'd been there. No family. All his family was gone. His neighbors were gone. Everybody was gone. He was all by himself. And that little boy survived there for 4 years. And you know what he did? He went and found water and delivered water to people in need.
Wow.
Now, we're talking a lot about Jesus nowadays. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus whatever. And you know what? That little boy doesn't know a thing about Jesus, but he was doing Jesus' work. And that's what we need to do. That little boy needs to be in charge of the world. We'd be fine. That's hope.
Well, thank you very much. It's good. Seriously, I want to say this by a little interjection. It is important for all of us to struggle to find hope and to struggle to make things better. That's where I'm at. That's why I do this show, and I think that's why Abe does what he does.
Yeah, I think so.
So, no, that's a good example, and I'll add one word. You don't have to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist to have hope, to do faithful, to do good works. All you have to do is have the motivation.
I agree. Caller's absolutely right. More kindness, more compassion, and the elevation of others' needs above your own. All
okay.
These things.
So we're looking for 1 to 2 minute comments. This is a unique opportunity for you. Go for it.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just take a moment then to talk about my hope and fear.
What is your hope?
Have one hope, one fear. No, I'm kidding. I'll start with a fear. And I want to do a show about this in some greater detail. We talked a few weeks ago on this show about how representative forms of government like our own, in those historical cases when they have failed, they have often failed due to a cascading series of events stemming from the degradation of institutions, democratic institutions. In other words, instead of abiding by the forms of government, the traditions of government, the institutions of government, the nation starts being swayed by cults of personality, by individuals, by what individuals are able to accomplish. And you can see this pattern play itself out in many places in history. The fall of the Roman Republic, perhaps the greatest analog to our own. So with now the official certification of Donald Trump as the next president of the United States, the electors voted for him yesterday when they gathered in their respective state capitals. It is my fear that under Donald Trump, we are going to see this degradation of our institutions accelerate. And my fear is that they will accelerate to the point that we functionally become no longer a republic anymore. And a lot of people might argue that we passed that point a long time ago. What I fear is the Trump administration is going to put us past the point of no return.
Okay.
That's what I fear.
Well, that's depressing.
It is. And like I said, I want to examine this in more detail because I think in the United States, this is something that's been going on for decades now. I think you can see some of the beginnings of it even back as far as the FDR administration. But again, we'll talk about this in more detail.
Yeah, and I'll withhold my comment on that right now.
Okay, good. My hope is that that doesn't happen. There you have it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're looking for people to call us, 231-8187, to give us your hopes and or your fears for the coming years. Kind of a celebratory comment on this season. We want to hear from you, but 1 or 2 minutes.
All right. Who's next? Francis, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm not going to talk about fear right now.
Okay.
I want us to stop putting everything in terms of fighting and enemies. Every time the news comes on that somebody's fighting with somebody, even if it's just a verbal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's described by the news media as a conflict. Whether it is or not, that's how it's described. And I want all the leaders of this world, this is my hope, to sit down, and this is my hope among those that Trump has put together, and figure out how they're going to justify to anyone that all this continual collateral damage is okay. It's not okay in Syria. It's not okay in Yemen. It's not okay in Libya. It's not okay anywhere. And we are now promoting the tragedy that happened in Syria and blaming it on those people, those enemies, the Russians and the Syrians. However, the similar things have happened elsewhere that can be blamed on us. So that whole rhetoric, I hope, will change. And somehow we'll start looking at how we can make a better life for the children, and that be the focus rather than creating more enemies.
Thank you very much for
you
the comment.
You all take care.
Hey, you do the same.
You take care. Okay, we're doing these 1 to 2 minute comments from all of you. You're welcome to make a comment. But remember, keep it short. We're trying. This is unusual for us. And
what else? What else on your mind, Joe?
Well, you know, my overarching theory. We don't have time for it. But I will just say that I agree with you. You come to a place in the history of any people where a real crisis or crises develop, and I think this is such a time. And I think that what we're seeing is really the karmic, I hate to use that term, but I don't know what else to use, the karmic consequences of a government which created itself in lies, including slavery and the destruction of Native American peoples. And all of that is now coming back to haunt us and to destroy us. And we have this weird event, this presidency, in which, in fact, the guy who is the president got less votes than the lady who is not. So, you know, it's a bad situation. And this guy has so far shown no propensity for finding wise people to help him govern. That's all I have to say.
No propensity to find wise people to help him govern.
Yeah, he doesn't want wise people.
Well, he doesn't need them.
Right? He knows more about ISIS. Rich people.
He knows more about ISIS than the generals.
Well, he said that.
Yeah, he did say that.
He must be right.
Well, yes, he said that too.
All right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Who do we have? Corey, good morning.
Oh, that was quick. Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'll keep it brief. First of all, happy holidays to you guys. I won't see you guys or hear from you guys, but happy holidays.
Thank you.
Real quick, the caller that just called in, I understand what the lady is saying about the little boy in Aleppo. It's 8:16. I just left a homeless shelter in Portland, Oregon, and I get what she's saying, but there's stuff going on in our backyard. I went to a shelter. There's some kids there right here in Goose Hollow. They need toys, and the little boy in Aleppo, I'm happy that he survived, but there's stuff, and I guess that's what I want to say. There's stuff going on that you can affect right now that's here and happening. So for my hope, I wish people would do more community-based stuff and focus on the stuff that we can affect. I cannot help that little boy in Aleppo, but I can help somebody here in Portland or Houston or et cetera, et cetera. So that's just my, you know, and the little boy that's at the shelter that I just saw, all he wanted was some Hot Wheels. And then he said, by the way, can you give something else to somebody? Can you do something for somebody else? So
really?
That's
wow.
My focus and point. And then, you know, there was, and I'll know I keep it brief. There was a newscaster. She was on TV crying on CNN a couple weeks ago about another little boy in Aleppo, Syria. But I'm thinking to myself, do you understand that you can go to places in America right now and see something similar? So I get the existential. I get, you know, what's going on there. But maybe if we started here and spread that outwardly, we could do a lot more.
Thank you very much for the call and the sentiment. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, sir.
Take care. In fact, I'll add this. Whatever your economic status, there are things you can do. You can volunteer for service. You can give money. You can support causes you believe in. All of this is a necessary existential behavior, which in its very existence defies the fascist tendencies we're seeing in the present executive branch of government.
All right, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM. This is a listener-driven show.
Sort of.
Yeah, well, more so than our typical shows, you might say.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. What is foremost in your mind with regard to the year ahead of us? What do you fear? What do you hope for? And we want to hear about it today. 503-231-8187. Mark writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. And I'm going to have to truncate his comments a little bit here because they're kind of long. But he writes, in the 19th century, nearly 50% of the population was still employed in agriculture. Today, one-tenth of this share is needed for people to eat better than ever. However, empathy and the social contract seem supplanted by social Darwinism, the tax avoidance movement, offshore tax havens, and the myth of pulling oneself up by one's bootstraps. Countermeasures are the antidote. Instead of spending $291 billion on F-35 fighter jets...
I like them, though.
Yeah. Affordable housing could be built all across our despoiled country with long-term low interest rates. Public spirit and trust between the generations requires eliminating the cap on Social Security taxes. The state should fulfill the public interest and not be merely a pot of gold for special interests. Security means health care, education, and housing. It means that they become rights and not privileges. Security does not mean a cop on every corner.
Great.
Yeah. That, I'd have to agree.
That's a nice comment. Yeah. I share that comment.
Absolutely.
All right.
Mark, you write to us a lot, but often you write too much for us to read on the air. So if you could, you know, distill those comments a little bit, you might find yourself hearing them a little more often. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Mike, good morning.
Yeah, I Joe, you're a wonderful person, but I need to correct you.
Okay.
The fascist tendencies are not in the executive branch. They're in the House, they're in the Senate, they're in the judicial, all the four branches right now, okay? It's a perfect storm, buddy.
Well, you've cheered me up. Thanks a lot, man.
I'm sorry. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Take care.
Who's next? Helen, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, this is kind of simple, but I was at the post office yesterday, and I was going to get a stamp, and there was a word on with a lit candle, and then the word was D-I-W-A-L-I, and I said, what's this about? And they said they didn't know. They didn't have time for it. So I went home to look, and it is the Hindu celebration of light.
Hmm.
Which is on a stamp in that you can buy. I thought, well, that's inspiring.
How do you say that word?
I don't know how to say it. D-I-W-A-L-I.
Oh, okay.
Diwali?
Diwali, yeah.
Yeah, if you look it
Diwali.
Up, you can see how they make flower corsages. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a new silk outfit to go out for the day, and there's just all this beautiful lights everywhere.
Yeah, that is true, and it is a charming, lovely holiday, and a holiday of hope. And mm-hmm. I think it derives from a religion even more, possibly more ancient than Hinduism, which is Zoroastrianism, which is a celebration of the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very ancient. They used to have these big towers, and they would light fires on them. Well, anyway, thank you, Helen. That's a good point.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
I like light. You can see much better with it.
It illuminates things. I'm not even going to go
and,
there.
You know, metaphors, you can just make all kinds of metaphors with it. It's very useful stuff, light.
Light?
Yes. Pear writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeAndJoe, to say, I hope America will improve democracy at home instead of selling a shoddy product to the rest of the world.
Amen to that.
Boy howdy.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth.
What is boy howdy? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. But it means hell yeah or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a boisterous affirmative statement, Joe.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about that for just a minute.
All right.
Reflect back on this past election, and not just the one that just finished in November. We do not have our stuff together here. We have 50 different semi-autonomous principalities when it comes to electorates, each with their own rules, each with their own set of guidelines, each with their own set of requirements. It takes us weeks, if not months, to count every vote that's cast. We have an archaic system in which a populist fascist demagogue can be elevated to the highest office in the land, even though he won 3 million fewer votes than his closest competitor. It is a broken system. And one would think in a country that prides itself on being the oldest of the modern democracies that we would have figured out this stuff a long time ago. It's embarrassing. Every time Canada has an election, they count all their votes in a single night.
And they do it with a paper ballot.
This isn't rocket science here. I'm even going to go so far as to venture that there's a segment of the country that likes things as disjointed and disorganized, as chaotic as they are, because it's the only means through which they can continue to exercise their power.
Well, just to make it clear, the reason for the Electoral College was to persuade states, particularly slave states, to join the Union.
Yeah,
and
that's
to give the little
true.
States more power in the electoral process.
Even with the question of the Electoral College aside, it is still a ridiculously chaotic, discombobulated system with no rhyme or reason and very little consistency among the 50 states. It's silly. And it ought to be replaced by something a lot simpler, a lot more effective, and a lot less susceptible to corruption.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
503-231-8187. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick message for us.
Sure.
And it goes like this. Jesus' birth was and is for the cause of universal peace and forgiveness. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, this is the time, it's unusual in our show, but if you have a testimony that you want to give, you know, you want to talk about your faith, you want to talk about what you think the world could be like, you want to talk about any number of things. This 1 to 2 minute segment is your segment.
Testify!
Yeah, do it.
All right, who's next? Kyle, what's on your mind?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know if your new style of letting people ramble on for a minute is really catching on too big. I got right on the radio. Usually it's hard to get on. I just wanted to say Eugene is the person that said boy howdy all the time. Remember him on Native American Hour on Thursdays?
No, I don't.
I'm sorry.
His name is Eugene. He was on there for some years. Hmm. So, anyway.
Okay, that's good to know, I guess.
And as far as the future goes, I'm scared.
Scared.
Yeah. There's the stuff running down your legs. Yeah.
Right.
I'm scared of that in that sense. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to be able to do about it except resist at every single point. We need to get rid of the district voting, too. That needs to go, too, right along with the, the other style of voting that we don't particularly like right now. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Both those need to go. That's enough out of me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to just insert one thing. Struggle, intelligent struggle to build a greater democracy, to build a more fair society, a more just society, is the ultimate antidote to fear. I just want to say that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely.
Doing stuff.
And I rarely agree
doing
completely
stuff,
with you, Joe.
It feels good.
Yeah, it does feel good. And not only this, there's a deep sense of complacency that I think is set in amongst Americans. We have this sort of elevated view of ourselves. Like, you know, yes, we're the first of the modern democracies, and that makes us exceptional or special in some way. And that in some way we've sort of arrived at the end of history, as it were, that we've got it all figured out. We
Fukuyama.
Don't.
Sorry.
We do not have it all figured out. This is a process. It's always a process. We are always nudging toward enlightenment, little by little. And if we sit down on the job, if we grow complacent, that's not going to happen. This isn't an inevitable situation. This isn't the end of history. We've got a long way to go till we become a truly universally enlightened culture. And it takes all of us working for it every day of our lives. There's no room for complacency in being an American.
Well, I won't argue with that. Let's take some more calls.
Let's do that.
231-8187. We're looking for short calls.
Red, good morning.
Good morning. Are you guys familiar with Guy McPherson?
Guy McPherson?
Yeah.
It rings a bell, but please fill us in.
So he's hypothesizing that the whole human race is going to be dead in 10 years.
Really?
Well, that takes care of all these worries.
That's a little worrisome to me, but at the same time, though, after getting a terminal sentence like that, you know, we should all try to live like we just did get a terminal sentence.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sort of sense.
You know, and do what we want to do and, you know.
Yeah.
Live it out the best we can.
Well, maybe people will turn to the model of St. Francis of Assisi and give away all their stuff.
Yeah, may as well.
Why does,
we got 10 years.
Why does Mr. McPherson think we're going to be extinct in 10 years?
Climate change.
Climate change. Okay, that's a decent answer, actually.
But that's a real fast 10 years, man.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I know, man. But anyways, well, happy holidays and... good luck to everybody.
Hey, okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Yeah,
you know what's really galling about that scenario, 10 years to extinction?
What?
Besides the whole extinction part, it's not going to be true extinction. There's going to be pockets of humans that survive catastrophic global climate change. But it's not going to be you and me. It's probably not going to be any of our listeners. It's going to be those people with the means to put themselves in a place where they're physically safe from the worst effects of climate change. In other words, social Darwinism has become real. And the heirs of Donald Trump and the heirs of Paris Hilton stand a great deal more chance of living and passing on their genes than do you or I or any of our descendants.
Yeah, but why Paris Hilton?
Because she's rich. Because she's rich enough to insulate herself from the worst of it.
Okay. 231-8187.
All right, who's next? Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to take a shot at the United States.
Sure. Well, wait, don't use the word shot at the United States.
All right.
Rephrase that.
In Oregon law, at ORS 174.100, our definitions, and the United States starts off, or like, it's mentioned in definition number one. It's alphabetical.
Mm.
Any other state means the sister states and the District of Columbia.
Mm.
And at 10, alphabetically, now we're down to the U's, the United States is the District of Columbia, the territories and possessions thereof. And that's why, instead of voting directly for the president of the trade union, we have an electoral college.
Okay. I'm not sure what to make of that, but okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. 231-8187.
Brian writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. I wish universal health care for the United States in spite of all signs to the opposite. Also a general strike and a new progressive coalition. For my wife, my cats, and myself, we desperately need to move back to my native Scotland or to France or to Spain. Homesickness sucks, and I just got the best motive in the world to leave.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to talk about Dick Whittinghill's cat.
Okay.
Or how he became Lord Mayor of London.
Okay, let's not talk about
it. We're not going to talk about
it. All right, who's next? Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just had a couple of thoughts and was hoping to get your insights on them. It seems to me that we don't really believe the truth about who our nation is and who we are as a people and how our nation was set up. When, for example, I'm listening to you guys talk, when you say we were a democracy, we were never intended to be a democracy. I think the other thing that I hear often from liberal folks is that the system is broken. Well, the system isn't broken. The system is doing exactly what the system was designed to do. So I guess my question is a couple of things. It seems to me, even when folks on the left talk about what's happening in America, it reveals a certain level of ideology, this kind of narrative that we were this great nation founded on great freedoms and justice when we weren't. I think the second thing I just would love your thoughts on, it seems to me that we owe Donald Trump a thank you. And what I mean by that is, and America has never cared about people.
Sorry, we had to let you go there. I want to address a couple. I want to address the callers.
I want to remind people, we under the law of a nonprofit, certain words cannot be used. So if you use one, we dump you. It's nothing to do with what you're saying. It's that particular word or set of words.
It's nothing personal. No. So the caller's points in order. Yes, the system worked exactly as it was designed to do. The system elected Donald Trump, not the majority of the American people. And that's precisely why I believe we need to change that system. Now, the caller also talked about a mythical narrative about the United States, that it was founded in greatness and dedicated to these unchanging, immutable ideals, and that we have carried that torch forward through the generations. Yeah, I think you hear that myth promulgated quite a bit, but I think you hear it promulgated a lot more by conservatives than by people on the left. I think if you're looking for a clear-eyed view of American history, you're more likely to find it on the left than on the right. But that said, even the most jaded leftists, I think they still hear that myth resonates a little bit with us. Otherwise, we wouldn't give a damn, right?
All right.
Okay.
All right. We want to hear from you, 231-8187.
Who's next? George, good morning.
Good morning. My hope is that in light of what Trump has said and the appointments that he has made since November 8th will cause people to unpolarize and realize the mistakes that they made, and that we can all work in the same direction and truly get a good republic up and running. That's my hope.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Realize their mistake. Bye-bye.
Take care. Next week, I think you're not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here next week.
I think I'm going to talk a little bit about this whole phenomenon of I'm going to use a little D, anti-democratic movement within American politics that we're seeing with the current administration, the new administration.
And by talk a little bit, you mean talk a lot.
Well, no, I would never talk a lot.
No, of course not.
Okay.
David writes in to the Facebook page, I'm assuming Joe's show opening wish for a discredited Trump includes his ouster as president. The thought of a Pence White House is even more disturbing.
Well, it's a real problem. You know,
it is a problem.
It's layer upon layer of bad news.
Yeah, I think it's pretty likely that there's going to be a push to impeach President Trump fairly early in his term. Although the math of party loyalty may make that not the case, but really, you get rid of President Trump, you've got President Pence, and that's scary for a whole mess of reasons.
Yeah, well, Pence is coherent. Trump is not. It's the best protection from impeachment that Trump could have, Pence.
Yeah, Pence is coherent, but he's also a rabid religious bigot, misogynist, and homophobe.
I think we covered that.
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
All right, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What else are you? Oh, looks like we do have a call. Who's we have here, sir? Well, while we're waiting for that to queue up, what else is on your mind for the coming year?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say that the mass media in this country, the media that saw Trump's stupid TV shows successful and therefore kept them running, is largely responsible for this, the creation of the idiot superstar.
The idiot superstar.
Yeah.
There's many Trump. Of those.
No, Trump, oh, yeah. The idiot superstar. He is the sine qua non of idiot superstars.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
More than Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber's irrelevant.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Come on, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He appeals to little boys and girls. I mean, come on.
I'm still waiting for an apology from Canada for Justin Bieber. Let's go to the phones. Spencer, good morning. What's on your mind, Spencer?
Oh, hey, brothers.
Hey.
I'll say my hope is some change, like a real revolution. I mean, I see it with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Like, seems like they set a format to make a real, like, movement changes, and people are talking about it all in the media. Mm-hmm. Hoping people actually take more action instead of just tweeting and swatting or whatever on social, likes, all that crap. And I say my fear is kind of similar, like, with a lot of people, is what is Trump going to really do? But, you know, pretty much that's about it.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. I just want to say that the struggle of Native Americans right now that's going on, which has revived a whole host of traditional and progressive values, is a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
and people should contribute in any way they can, including with their bodies.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there.
I also hope in the coming year that people of color in major American cities won't have to drink poison water anymore.
Well, that's a great hope.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems reasonable.
It's a reasonable hope.
Clean water. That's what we're asking for.
You would think.
Water that's not poisonous.
Okay.
503-231-8187. Jersey, good morning.
Hi, guys. Since hope and fear are supposed to be the opposites of each other, it's safe to assume there's just as much either way. So I'm not going to give fear too much ground room, okay? Hope is most important that people do not believe that this election was the sampling of a reason to start compromising on progressive ideas. Because the simple fact is that if 58.5% of the population showed up to vote, and this guy got the less of the half of that, then it is less than 30% of the population. So this is not the silent majority. This is the loudmouth minority. And that's a basic fact. Everybody out there, please listen to me. It's a bunch of BS. These are not representation of a compromise we have to make because we're a divided country. That is a bunch of baloney. It is only a very loud, loud minority that dominates with money and basically a bunch of disenfranchised folks who are in between places. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. 231-8187. We're doing short calls today.
Who do we have next? Richard, good morning.
Hi. I'm sorry I missed the point, but ORS, the chapter 174 is titled Construction of Statutes, meaning you can't understand the rest of the entire Oregon Revised Statutes unless you read that one first. And my fear is exactly what followed my comment about the United States, and it's that Joe said, I don't know what to think of that. That is the problem. We don't know what's going on around us.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
231-8187. We're looking for comments as short as 1 minute, as long, no longer than 2 minutes. This is kind of our Xmas show. I always say keep the X in Xmas.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Here's something I hope for. I hope that ordinary Americans find courage in the next year, because there's a lot of bigots, a lot of racists, a lot of homophobes, a lot of xenophobes who have come out of the closet since Donald Trump has risen to prominence on the campaign trail, as if they only needed permission to be their horrible, hateful selves.
You know, actually, I think that's correct analysis.
I think, yeah, I think so,
people
too.
People are very angry, unhappy, and unwilling to study up on problems.
So here's what I hope. I hope that everyday Americans, if they witness acts of bigotry, acts of racism, acts of homophobia, that they will find the courage to publicly confront those people.
Okay.
That's what I hope.
I think it's a good idea. I don't know that it's so easy to do, but I think it's an important activity.
It takes courage.
Courage.
Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My hope and my fear revolve around the concept of success. And let me start first with what my hope is. What I've seen so far with Trump is that proposing to fill his cabinet with a lot of very successful people, successful in the sense of money, mm-hmm. he is unidimensionally defining what success means. And so my fear would be that people would buy into that. My hope would be that people would get so sick of it that they would remember that success means successful talk show host, successful teacher, person who cares for people when they're dying, successful parent. There's all kinds of definitions of success. And I personally have been very affronted with the notion that the only way that one can be successful in life, with apologies to the two of you, is with this male-dominated notion of making huge amounts of money. So that would be my hope, that people would get so disgusted, that they would begin to see that success is defined in all kinds of ways, not just in terms of how much money one makes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I can't help but agree with you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks very much. It's so true. There's so many ways to measure a person, and wealth is perhaps the meanest and the smallest of them all.
Yeah, but, you know, it's money that makes the world go round.
No, it's not. It's angular momentum.
Okay.
But that's a story for another day. Max writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeandJoe, to say, the cadet honor code at West Point Military Academy, and then he quotes it, quote, a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do, end quote. And then he adds, will a few proud Marines please stand up? I'm a little confused, Max, and if you want to write back and clarify it, that would be great. Are you suggesting that a military coup is in order? Or are you suggesting that people of principle are called upon now to defy the president-elect?
Well, I choose to interpret that as to be the latter rather than the former.
Yeah, that's what I think he's
getting at. I do not think a military dictatorship is a good idea ever.
Oh, God, no. Not ever. 503-231-8187. All right, your turn again, Joe.
Oh, gee. Okay, I really do think... And I struggle with this intellectually. I really do think that there are wise words from many great women and men that we all know or we know of, and that we need to access those more routinely, more in our lives, so that we, before we do something, we think about what that something is and what its implications are for the planet, for ourselves, for our communities, for our families, and so on. This is my hope. That's all.
Good. I like it. All right. Steve, this is our old engineer, Steve.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Steve writes into the Facebook page, dude, rich people don't know how to subsist on the land. The survivors of catastrophic climate change will be those indigenous uncivilized folks living in the outback who know how to live off the land in sparse times.
I don't know if that's true, but it's interesting.
It is. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. There's a lot that I fear under a Trump administration.
Yeah.
One of the big ones is one of two things.
Okay.
Either an assassination attempt on the man.
Ooh.
Or a large-scale terrorist attack under his administration, both of which I think would bring a retribution the likes of which we haven't seen in this country. We will drift closer to martial law and outright fascism if either of those two things happen than we've ever been in this country.
Okay, well, I think of fascism as having more both subtle and not subtle aspects. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it.
Yeah. Corey writes in to the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeAndJoe, to say, there have been a few religious calls this morning, so I hope that people will begin to think critically and stop believing in an almighty sky god and his surrogate son. That myth is nothing more than psychological slavery. Merry Kwanzaa.
Okay.
Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on your community-supported radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. We're looking for your greatest hopes, greatest fears for the year ahead. Who's next? Barry, good morning.
Oh, am I on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, my hope is that many, many people could read the book Solving 9/11. This, you don't know what happened. Solving 9/11 by Christopher Boland. And he has a website, christopherboland.net, and then there's also Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Okay.
It's thoroughly amazing. It's something that I can't get across in words. Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much for the suggestion.
I've been on record many times on this program saying something similar to what I'm about to say now. I don't think that unlocking the secrets of 9/11, whatever they happen to be, is going to be a magic potion that makes everything better.
I don't think there's any magic potions that make anything better. Myself.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
I think reality and hard struggle and thoughtful behavior and commitment to knowledge and truth and beauty mm-hmm. are, corny as it might be, are the things we need at this time.
Agreed. Dean writes to the Twitter machine, that's at HonestAbe72. I hope Trump ends the Republican Party as it currently exists, and I fear that Trump will end the United States or the world as we know it.
Well, you know, it's really, I want to make a comment here. It's really hard to tell with Trump whether there's any there, because he is so much of a crazy person that, and it's so disappointing that so many people have bought into his craziness. And it's very disturbing in all kinds of levels. So I don't know. I don't know where it goes. I do know that right now it serves the interest of a lot of very powerful people to have Trump around. But, you know, it's a little crazier than ever before in this country.
Just a little.
Just a little.
All right, who's next? Susan, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about... thinking globally and acting locally. I think that for our world to be more inviting, that we need to understand the social impact of people being able to speak their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that I'm happy that you have an hour program. I find that the socializing of banter is not inviting to half the population, let's say the women, the females, all ages. It's not as inviting. I think you both have very valid comments. And when Joe had just a really brief comment about one of his hopes, I really listened because it wasn't surrounded by the possibility of bantering back and forth. I mean, the time and the effort we all need to give to opening ourselves, our hearts, and our minds, it takes time. And I appreciate your program. I know my husband loves your program. And I just wanted to say that. And I think it's the strata goes up and down throughout the whole world. And I thank you for this time.
Okay. Thank you. You take care and you keep tuning in. I will not guarantee that we won't banter, however. We're banterers.
Yeah, it's...
compulsive banterers.
Yeah, it's...
All right.
It's hard. It's really hard.
But
not to
I think she makes actually a valid point. Yep. There is a point. There is a time at which we need to be very clear, concise, and truth speaking. And
agreed.
This might be that time.
It might be that time. Who's next? Ian. Good morning. Do we have that right?
Good morning. Yeah, that's right.
Ian. Okay.
Well, I like your show, and thanks for having me on. You had a caller who was describing the group of Trump supporters as themselves being a minority. I thought that was kind of funny, but true. And I think we need to keep hearing good messages about ways that we can affect positive change. So, you know, callers with good ideas, and like your last caller, Susan, very great message there. But I also know that I have a lot of family members and friends who voted for Trump, as crazy as I think that is. And the only way to really affect change, meaningful change, is obviously never through violence, right? And never through force. It's through understanding and continuing to be a part of your community and speak up. And we do need to get louder, the majority. We need to get louder. And I don't know how to do that. So if you have callers with good ideas, I'm always listening to your shows, and I'd love to hear them.
Well, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. And I'll just say, get out there.
You know, Joe, it might be incumbent upon us as hosts of a progressive talk radio program to empower our listeners to be louder in the ways that our caller just described.
Well, I'm not sure that that's needed, except I will say, get out there. There is no short of violence. There is no inappropriate demonstration at this time.
Agreed. So. There might be some less tasteful demonstrations.
Really?
But no inappropriate ones.
Okay.
503-231-8187. Who's next? Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on someone that called about the world coming to an end in 10 years and that the wealthy may be the only ones that survive as the impacts of climate change become more and more apparent and impact more and more of us. I think what we'll find is that those very wealthy people, although they may have the resources to hide, they lack the skill and knowledge to grow their own food and to take care of themselves. So I think that ultimately the people that will survive are the people that can take care of themselves and their families and each other. And I hold hope that that we will take better care of the planet and be thinking about that. That really ultimately is what it takes to survive.
Well, I thank you for your comment. And I'll just say from a great reggae song, where are you going to run to, sinner man? Okay, 231-8187.
Who's next? Harvey, good morning.
Hi there. Well, there's an old saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I think it's kind of a constant state that the human beings are caught up in. And I feel at this time that we have to take personal responsibility by voting with our dollars and turning to renewable energy, like putting solar panels on your roof and buying an electric car and plugging into the sun. It's time for us to really grab the initiative and not just wait for government to react and make the change ourselves and move forward toward renewable clean energy. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Now, but I want to add this caveat. What he said is very true. People of means can make these decisions to put their money towards these sorts of products. That's not an option available to a great many people in our culture. So that's not something that at this moment in time can be universally applied. But people with the means to do so should still do what the caller suggested. You should still put solar panels on your roof. You should still buy yourself an electric car. The more people who do that, the more it drives the market in that direction, and the more affordable those sorts of things become. So yes, while that's not that suggestion can't be universally applied right now, it still should be applied by those who can do it.
Okay, thanks for the call. 231-8187. I think we got time for one more.
Rebecca, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm so glad I made it. My wish, I'm a public school teacher and a union activist, and my wish is that we continue to invest in our next generation of public schools, and that this really is the time where we need to continue to hunker down and make sure that we're teaching students to think critically and, you know, make sure that we don't have an assault against the public schools, because that's really one of our greatest national resources.
Well, thank you very much for the call. That's a very nice call to end on, I think.
She's right. Yeah, we're going to have to fight a holding action on all kinds of fronts.
Oh,
public education
is
one of the biggest.
It's going to be a very interesting, which is kind of a curse, time coming up.
Indeed.
All right. We want to thank you all. We want to wish you a happy holiday. We want to remind you that KBOO is trying to raise money right now, and we got matching grants galore.
We're always trying to raise money.
Well, we are, because, you know, no corporation, no large corporation has yet seen fit to hand us a few million dollars. I don't know why not, but, you know.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful and safe and warm holiday season, and I'll be back next year. You'll be back next week.
I'll be back next week.
Okay.
All right.
So
thank
long.
You all. Take
but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Give to KBOO today during our end of year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events survey on KBOO.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to KBOO.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
Once you've gotten to radical acceptance, you have to fight also. What I've realized is it's fighting for a vision. So the way I try to raise the moral thing is not